Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of 1 Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in 1 Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
You shall know that I am the Lord. And they encamped opposite each other for 7 days, and so it was that on the seventh day the battle began. And the children of Israel killed 100,000 foot soldiers of the Syrians in one day, but the rest fled to Aphek, into the city, and then they're safe there, right? No, because a wall fell on 27,000 of the men who were left. What kind of wall was that? It reminded me a little bit of the walls of Jericho. And who won the battle on that day? This is why God sometimes allows valleys in our lives. Because He's certainly working a work in us, but also to show non-believers that the God of Calvary's cross is not only the God on the mountaintops, but also the God of all of our valleys. Many times our valleys aren't just for our learning. They're for others to see Jesus move in our lives. And like Ahab, they, watching, have an opportunity to get saved. But even as the Paris attacks, and I knew that it was going to happen, how many of you saw some of the miraculous videos? Did you see the one of the Paris restaurant where the terrorist literally rolls up on two ladies who dove under a table? He basically walks right up to them and gun jams. And he walks away. And the two ladies pop up and they get out of the frame. Why does God allow some of these things to happen? Because in that region already they're going to be Christians loving on, praying for, talking about an amazing Savior. And they're going to have real and substantive answers for some of the questions that the non-believers are asking. How could this happen? Aren't humans innately good? And the answer is actually no. Since the fall, since Adam, humans, now into our DNA, the fallen state of humankind as well as planet Earth, there is very much evil in the world. Well, then what can be done? And that's when we can show them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is really a hope. And this life is not all that there is. Sometimes God allows valley in our lives to show the non-believers that the God of Calvary's cross is not only the God of the mountaintops, but also the God of all the valleys. Sometimes He's working in us, and sometimes He's working through us so that somebody else can see. And Ben-Hadad fled and went into the city after him and into the inner chamber. And then his servant said to him, "Hey, look now, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Please let us put sackcloth around our waists and ropes around our heads." Sackcloth and ashes always mean a broken heart or a contrite heart. Are they trying to do a Jewish thing here, knowing that they're dead meat, their number is up? Maybe if we throw ourselves upon the mercies, and we're going to do this thing with the sackcloth thing, and go out to the king of Israel, perhaps he will spare our lives. Verse 32, so they wore sackcloth around their waists and put ropes around their heads and came to the king of Israel and said, your servant Ben-Hadad says, please let me live. Now watch Ahab. What has God done? He has brought through Ahab a tremendous supernatural victory, not once, but twice. And Ahab said, is he still alive? I thought Homie was dead. He says, he is my brother. What is he doing here? Watch what happens. My brother? This great supernatural miracle God had done for Ahab to use as an opportunity for Ahab to be blown away by God's goodness and mercy. What's he doing? You're going to see that he realizes in Ben-Hadad a political alliance against the Assyrians who are on the rise. So here's God moving through Ahab in this great miracle, not once, but twice. And then Ahab goes, is he still alive? This may work out for me. Instead of being blown away by God's goodness, he's all, I think I can see some political capital in this. The unregenerated heart revealed, oh, if only I could see something supernatural, then I'd believe, then I'd follow Jesus. Really? God did show Ahab a huge supernatural intervention, and Ahab uses it for his own selfish advantage. Watch what he does. Now the men were watching closely to see whether any sign of mercy would come from him. And they quickly grasp at this word, you're right, you're right, your brother. Yeah, that's it, he's your brother. So he said, go bring him. And then Ben-Hadad came out to him, and he, Ahab, had him come up into the chariot. That is a political position of favor, making God's work, God's favor and blessing look like it was all because of what Ahab had done. So Ben-Hadad said to him, he's a little different tune now, huh? I'm going to take your wife, I'm going to take your kids, and I'm going to take all your stuff. Whole different ball game now. But I want you to notice something. Ben-Hadad is serving nicely as a model for the devil. When you stand against him and he flees, maybe I should put a different sort of face on it. Let's call this thing your favorite sin. And you finally set up a strong defense and you stand firm and maybe you ask some trusted brothers or sisters to stand with you. And you let it get out of the secretive place and that can't have its hold on you any longer. And then you stand shoulder to shoulder with some brothers and sisters and that thing flees like the Bible promises. What we're supposed to do at that point is we're supposed to destroy it as best as we know how. Shut the door and don't ever let it come whimpering back. Remember one time it was so huge? I'm going to take your wife. I'm going to take your kids. I'm going to take all your stuff. Any of us aholics in the room, we know what that voice sounds like. And then when we make the stand and we resist the devil and it flees, please be aware of the next little methodology of the devil. I'm so very sorry, says your sin. Can I just hang out just on the outside? I'll just stay in the doggy house outside. I won't even stay in your house. Well, we say, you're going to behave? I promise. It wants to come back. Verse 34. So Ben-Hadad said to him, the cities which my father took from your father, I will restore. And you may set up marketplaces for yourself in Damascus, as my father did in Samaria. Those are the things that happened in 1 Kings 15. Then Ahab said, I will send you away with this treaty. So he made a treaty with him and sent him on his way. Why did he allow Ben-Hadad to come up into his chariot? Because it served a political purpose, and he's going to use Syria as an ally against Assyria. What do you suppose God thinks about that? Remember, Old Testament pictures our New Testament principles? Are we to entertain the sin that at one time had us by the neck, and then we, through His glory, grace, and miracles, we got it behind us, and should we ever invite it back in? We are supposed to kill it. He doesn't. And watch what happens. This is a fascinating story. Verse 35. And now a certain man of the sons of the prophets said to his neighbor, these prophet schools, many of them may be set up by Elijah himself. These were guys who lived together, worked together, but their whole purpose and heart really was to serve God. So his neighbor is really a person, a fellow prophet very likely, and he knows God's word, loves God's word, and neighbor is an idea of a friend. So he says to his fellow potentially prophet student, graduate student, who they've been through Rush Week, and they've been through all the finals exam, they've been through all the rigors and the disciplines, and they're probably good friends, would be my hunch. So he said to his good friend, by the word of the Lord, would you say that with me? By the word of the Lord, would you please hit me in the face? Strike me, please. And the man refused to strike him. So I wrote in my Bible, why would he not want to hit his friend in the face? Probably because he was a nice guy. Probably because he was a friend. Watch what happens. Verse 36. Then this prophet said to the second prophet, you wouldn't hit me in the face. And because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, surely as soon as you depart from me, a what? Lion shall take you through a series of in-depth counseling services, one after the other. What does it say, everybody? A lion will kill you. What? A fellow prophet guy and their friends? What if your friend came up to you and said, the word of the Lord says you're supposed to smash me right in the face. Go ahead. Go ahead. And a part of you goes, why would I do that? We're friends. And I'm a nice guy. This is a powerful truth, you guys. Because he is a prophet. He's not just anybody. He's a prophet of God. And the neighbor likely knows all that that means. This was a serious thing. Because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, surely as soon as you depart from me, a lion will kill you. Not I will kill you, but a lion will. And again, God is using a lion as a model. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. He is seeking whom he may devour. Please hit me in the face. And the guy, because of relationship, says, I don't want to do that. I'm a nice guy. God says, you honored and esteemed relationship over my word. You're going to be torn up, eaten up by a lion. I suspect that we're going to see this fella in heaven. He's not in hell. But this is a powerful, powerful model. Powerful model. And as soon as he left him, a lion, what, everybody? And so the lion was looking for him and killed him. What a picture. Who is the lion seeking? Those who will not obey God's word. Who is the lion devouring? Those who chose, I want to be a nice guy, or I want to have relationship over God's word. Are you seeing the severity of this with me? I tell you, in the church these days, there's not a lot of people, especially in the leadership and pastors and so on, because they are so sensitive to, we need as many tithing units in the pews as we can. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the things that people like to talk about, but I'm not going to talk about the things that are difficult. And he found another man. Would you please hit me in the face? And so that man smashed him in the face, inflicting a wound. The guy who wouldn't because of relationship and I'm a nice guy, he got eaten up by a lion. And a lion is a model of whom, everybody? The devil. The second guy wounds his friend. A wound by a friend or a brother? Isn't that a bad thing? Some of you are way ahead of me. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. This is a proverb saying that the true friends in your life are the friends who will tell you the truth. Isn't that a weird story? He walks up to his friend. Hey, would you please hit me in the face? And the friend says, George, Frank, I'm not going to do that. But remember, the friend very likely is involved with the same prophet school. He knows about the viability and the authority of the prophet speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, especially in this Old Testament economy. Thus saith the Lord. It's the same as if Elijah would have said it, or Samuel would have said it, or Isaiah. Please wound me. I'm your friend. I'm a nice guy. I don't want to do that. Seems reasonable. But God says, if you honor, if you esteem, if you count on, if you look to friendship and relationship over God's word, the powerful picture here is you are open to become devoured by the lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 38, this is important. Then the prophet departed and waited for the king by the road with this wound on his face. And he disguised himself with a bandage over his eyes. The wound might have been a smack to the eye. Maybe he had a big swollen black eye. Now as the king passed by, he cried out to the king and said, your servant went out in the midst of a battle. King said, pardon me? Yeah, I went out into the midst of a battle. That's why he's got his wound. And there a man came over and brought a man to me and said, hey, guard this guy. And if by any means he is missing, or if he escapes, your life shall be for his life. Or else you should pay a talent of silver, a lot of money, while your servant was busy here and there. You know what? The guy got away, i.e. the prisoner escaped. Then the king said to him, well, what are you talking to me about? So shall your judgment be. You yourself have said it. You've decided it. You got to either die or you got to pay this exorbitant amount of money. Anybody can see that. What am I, an idiot? Verse 41. And then he took off the bandage away from his eyes. There was the wound. And the king of Israel recognized him as one of the prophets. And then he, the prophet, said to him, Ahab, thus says the Lord, because you have let slip out of your hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, Ben-Hadad, therefore you let him escape. Now your life shall go for his life, and your people for his people. Ahab, dude, I gave you an exceptional example of my supernatural power. And when you should have been humbled and repented, nope, instead you used this great miracle for your own selfish advantage. And because you let this great opportunity escape, you will be held responsible. You're done. Your kingdom and your life. One more thought, too. It's a powerful lesson for any of us wrestling with sin. Romans 8, verse 37 says, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And like Ahab, God's Spirit, God's Word, has given us an overwhelming supernatural victory. But instead of destroying ultimately Ben-Hadad, the one who's been destroying you and the precious people around you, you know what we like to do? Instead of listening to the people God has sent to you, some of them, even if you will, took a beating in telling you what was up. And you did not like them for it. You're wounding me. It's not my intention. But God's word says ABC. And my brother, my sister. And then when they say, I don't like what you're sharing with me. We choose instead to bring Ben-Hadad up to our chariot. Last verse. So the king of Israel went into his house, sullen and displeased, and he came to Samaria. Let's all stand together. You guys, that's quite a word. Wouldn't you agree with me? The prophet comes up and he says, do you love me? Yes, I do. Do you love God? I sure do. The word of God says, smash me in the face. I will not. I'm your friend. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, there really are so many of the things of God, so many of your attributes, Lord, and certainly many of your ways that run counterintuitive to the fallen flesh of humankind. Fascinating, Lord, that this study presents itself to us, Lord, in the midst of yet another chapter of how this world is spinning out of control, which makes only sense when this world is consistently shutting you out, your word, your way, your grace and mercy. But Lord, you don't allow anything to touch our lives unless it's time and that it has a purpose. And yeah, we love you when you're the God of the hills on the mountaintops. But can we love you, Lord, in the valley when you are showing us something about ourselves and all those who are watching? Hey, everybody, watch this. This is what a Christian is. And this is what a Bible-believing Christian does in the midst of a difficult valley. Oh, may it be so here at Harvest Family Fellowship, Lord. And I pray that these very important principles would really and truly take hold. Faithful are the wounds of a friend to tell you the truth, whether it's a little schmutz on the side of your mouth or some lifestyle that is wreaking havoc. And I pray here at Harvest, Lord, that none of us are sin sniffers, but certainly all of us have it within us to love our brother and sister enough to say, in a time of maybe it's a private little one-on-one, certainly in prayer well beforehand, but certainly who has the courage to say, brother, sister. And I pray, Lord, that all of us would step up to say and all of us would step up to receive at the same time. And Lord, I know that this is one of the things you're calling Harvest to do and to be. Not to keep providing artificial life support for people's love and life with you. But Harvest is supposed to teach people how to breathe for themselves. Teach people how to feed themselves. Can you hang and stand with Jesus Christ when no one else around you is? How do you know it's a life support? Because when we pull the plug, all the alarms start going off. Hey, don't take that from me. Oh, Lord, may Harvest Family Fellowship, Lord, be the place where people can learn how to feed themselves. Learn, Lord God, how to stand unflappable, unshakable, because we're already seeing it's getting darker and darker out there. Now more than ever, are we the people that need to be salt and light to a desperate world. Oh, in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the book of 1 Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.